John chapter 10, reading verse 10 by way of introduction this morning. The latter part of that verse saying, and this is, of course, Jesus speaking, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Let's bow our hearts together this morning. Let's ask God to bless the sharing of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the grace that You give us. We thank You, Lord, for the blood of Your Son, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, for Your grace and mercy. We thank You for the power of Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, God, for being in our service today. And Lord, for Your Word, and for once again an opportunity to look to Your Word. We, Lord, come to Your Word not in our own strength, but we rely wholly upon You this morning. Send Your anointing upon this speaker, we pray. Give ears to every hearer here. Remove any distraction there might be, that God, we might grow in Your grace and truth and be a people of vision. We ask this in Jesus' name this morning. Amen. Over the past month, of course, last week we spoke about a different topic. But over the past month, we've been talking about the life that God has intended for His children. Natural life is wonderful, isn't it? We are truly, and outside of knowing Christ, mankind truly is a wonder and a beautiful creation of God. Unique, special, and the reason mankind is special is that we, above all other created beings, have been created in the very image of God. And that is wonderful. And that is special. And, you know, how could there be anything greater than that? But in Christ Jesus, there is. Bless God. We come to know Christ. The Bible says everything becomes new. Now, in some cases, new isn't better. But in this case, new is not only better, it far out supersedes that which is old. This is the thought that Jesus is trying to convey in this verse. "I have come that they," speaking of those who trust in Christ, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Have, or as the King James might translate, have an abundant life, an overflowing life, a super beyond comprehension life, a life that is marked by spiritual understanding and discernment, a life that is marked by divine purpose, a life that is marked by inexpressible joy, and a life that is marked by a love which is deep and overflowing. In the process of discussing this new life in Christ, we see, as the Word of God so many times tells us, that the spark, or the beginning, the source of this life and sustainer of this life, is God Himself. But just like every other gift that we have been given, we as believers have the responsibility of being good stewards of this life, of taking that which God has given us, caring for it, nurturing it, so that it might grow and be everything that God has intended it to be. And regarding the nurture and care of this wonderful, supernatural, blessed life, Scripture gives us several imperatives or teachings or encouragements in how we might nurture this new life. We looked at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. Part of that Scripture stating, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life." One imperative that God has given us in order to ensure, to nurture, to protect this new life that He has given us, full of joy and love and all those wonderful things that we spoke about, is that of righteousness. But righteousness as it is portrayed in Scripture isn't just something we do. It's not part of our life. It is our very life. It is our very being. We've been called to walk a path of righteousness. So it's not something we do. It's something that we are. It's something that should flow from us. And living that way ensures that full life in Christ. We read Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where we're given a warning by the prophet, things to stay away from that will harm our wonderful life in Christ. That being ignorance, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. We as God's people, if we want to walk in this new life that Christ has given us, we need to be people who walk in His knowledge. Knowledge of His Word, but as we have discussed, knowledge of the power of His resurrection and even the fellowship of His suffering. For in doing so, in living in knowledge, then we have an understanding of what sin is. Sin is death. It will destroy you. It will bring your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ to ruin. And knowledge will keep you constantly aware of what sin is so it does not get a foothold in your life. But knowledge also gives us understanding regarding our place of privilege. Who we are in Christ. How we can approach the throne of grace in the name of Jesus. How we can walk not in defeat but in power, bless God. Many people do not fully realize who they are in Jesus. Although we are nothing in and of ourselves, we are the very children of the King, and so joint heirs with Christ. And so as children of privilege, we are entitled to privilege by God. Bless God. And we don't have to walk this life in defeat, but in victory in the name of Jesus. But we don't realize that if we choose to live in ignorance. We also talked about the importance of wisdom, the care for this life, of being a people of understanding, of prudence, and a very seldom talked about aspect of wisdom, that being self-control. Wisdom leads to happiness. Wisdom is not something that just brings happiness into the life of those who pursue it. But wisdom also, according to the Scriptures, is something that adds and gives authenticity to our witness. Something that people see and draws them not so much to us, but into He who is the giver of wisdom. And as such, if we are to be people who are to care for this new life that Christ has given us, we must be people who pursue wisdom as a man would pursue a beautiful, virtuous woman. In fact, there is no beauty without virtue. Amen. That's just kind of a side thing. I just threw that in there. And this morning, I'd like to look at the last life essential, at least last in this series, I'm sure there are others. That being the importance of being a person of vision or revelation. The importance of being a person of revelation. Proverbs 29, verse 18. The Bible reads, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." And just as in the case of righteousness, knowledge, wisdom, vision is something that is necessary and will enable you to care for, to nurture, to protect that new life that Christ has given you. In fact, all these things, righteousness, understanding, wisdom, and vision or revelation, is something that's not only things that the spiritual man or woman should pursue, but they're also desirable things in the life of men. Maybe not God's righteousness, so to speak, but there are natural benefits to those even outside of Christ who pursue knowledge, who pursue wisdom, people of revelation or people of vision. In fact, regarding vision, I believe there are two types of people. And I'm speaking purely on the natural sense outside of Christ. There are people that you could refer to as visionary. And being a visionary person doesn't necessarily mean you're the head of a big company or you're a great ruler of a country. You can be visionary and own a small business or have very little impact as far as the number of people that you influence, but still be someone of vision or of purpose. How would you describe a visionary person or a person of vision? Well, there's someone who has a very clearly defined purpose. A clearly defined purpose. Their lives are marked, since they have such a great purpose, their lives are marked by focus, by drive, by that sense of purpose, and by destiny. They know where they've been, they know where they are, and they know where they're going. This is opposed to someone who is not a person of vision. A person of vision could be described as someone who doesn't really have any sense of purpose in their life, as being someone who is aimless, someone who is uncertain, not sure what they should be doing, so they're not sure what they should be doing or how to get there since they don't know even where they're going. And in some ways, they would describe their lives as being empty. The Word of God teaches us that vision is essential in having a meaningful and purposeful life in Christ. What is it? What does it mean to have vision, or as the word is translated in Proverbs 29:18 in the New International Version, revelation? Well, looking at several definitions from Mr. Webster, a person of revelation or revelation is the act of revealing or communicating divine truth. It also could be described in the one word, enlightening, an opening up of one's mind to something. Vision is very similar to that. Vision being something that is translated a supernatural appearance that conveys a revelation. The word revelation is a word that is used in the New Testament, and the literal meaning of that is an uncovering. So putting all these things together, what vision is, to be a person of vision or to be a person of revelation. It's a person whose mind is awakened to the things of God, to that which is divine, to the spiritual realm. And I don't like to say that so much, I think it's better said to the realm of God's kingdom. Amen, because when we're born again, to whose kingdom are we born into? We are born into the kingdom of God. And so part of fully realizing new life in this kingdom is having a revelation of what the kingdom of God truly is. An understanding, an enlightening of what His kingdom is. An understanding or an awakening of God's ways and truth. And there's two aspects of vision or revelation as it relates to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are two aspects that we need to get a hold of, because vision or revelation touches every area of our lives. The first aspect of vision relates to our souls in the understanding of the Word of God. Reading our subtext again, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, the Bible says, "Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." The revelation that this scripture is speaking of is the revelation of God through His Word. God has revealed Himself in many ways. God has revealed Himself through creation, but God has also revealed Himself through His Word. Painstakingly, with many authors, over thousands of years, God made His Word for us to be able to what? To know Him. To reveal Himself to us. And so a very important part of being a person of vision as it relates to God and His kingdom is someone who has their mind and their spirit wrapped around the Word of God. For it's His Word that gives us insight regarding His law. It's His Word that gives us insight regarding sin and righteousness. It's His Word that gives us insight as far as worship. It's His Word that gives us insight as far as power and authority. The Bible is not just a collection of stories, sermons, and laws. It is a supernatural book that God wants to reveal to you or use to reveal Himself to you in a powerful way. Jesus saying in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 63, "The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life." It's more than just printed words on a page. This is revelation. Revelation of God to you. You might say to yourself, "I've never had a vision from God." Don't say that. God has given you a vision through His Word. Everything you need to know about God and more is written within the pages of this Word. And it's something, if you take into your life, will do more than just stimulate your mind. It will do more than just make you emotional in some of the moving stories, such as the giving of Christ on Calvary for our sins. It is something because it is supernatural in nature that will speak to your very spirit. Word of God, spirit, life, quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a supernatural book. And the teachings therein are supernatural. Some are plain. But some truths regarding God's kingdom are taught, especially in the ministry of Jesus, through parables. Others, especially in the prophetic books, are symbolic messages regarding the will of God and things that are to come. And somehow, some way, it is important that if we are to be people of vision or revelation, that we understand the Word of God. And there are two things I believe that God wants us to understand regarding His Word and its impact on our lives regarding the revelation of Him. Number one, that the Bible was given so that we might understand it. I know the Bible is not easy to understand. In fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The Word of God says that. But just because it is difficult for our natural minds to understand what is in God's revelation, His Word, does not mean He has not, through the power of His Holy Spirit, provided a way for us to understand what His Word means. God's Word was given so that it may be understood. And secondly, this understanding is something to be shared by every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has not come and not God has not prepared His Word and preserved His Word and given His Word just for a select few to understand. He's given it for everyone to understand. And you know, I think that's the beauty of the Word of God. And the beauty of knowing Christ and being part of His kingdom. You know, as far as any other great thing that there is to know, whether it's science or medicine or law or, you know, any of those things, it requires great study. It requires great intelligence. But as far as understanding the greatest secrets and knowledge that there is in the universe, the things of God, true, the high-minded and the very intelligent can understand those things. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, so can the rest of us. I'm speaking of myself. God's Word, written to be understood, and this understanding should be shared by everyone. And so, so as far as vision, it's important that we understand the vision of Christ that He has given us through His Word. But that's not the only aspect of revelation that you and I are to have in our lives. Because when we truly adopt this life essential of being a person of vision or a person of revelation, it answers that age-old question that gnaws at so many of us. That question, which is somewhat answered when we accept Jesus, but still lingers, that being, why am I here? Have you ever asked that question of yourself? Why am I here? What purpose do I have? And of course, when we come to know Jesus, the greatest sense of purpose is revealed to us. Man being created for the glory of God. We were created to worship Him and to live in relationship with Him from that very moment through eternity. And so a great sense of purpose is revealed. But especially in this life, knowing Jesus, and that's very important, and we derive and should derive great satisfaction from that. But secondly, there is, what is my place and purpose now as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? What now, or why am I here? What am I going to do for the rest of my life until Jesus calls me home or until the rapture takes place? Well, God wants us to understand our living purpose. That we have a purpose that's not only to come to spend eternity in the new heaven and a new earth with the Lord Jesus Christ, but to build His kingdom. And of course, in a general sense, we all understand what our purpose is, that we're to reach and to teach people with the gospel. Matthew 28:19-20, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Word of God, or the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to win people and then also to disciple them, encourage them, comfort them. So much as far as ministry as it relates to the Lord Jesus. And in general, we all have that purpose. But in Christ, although we have a general purpose, we also have a specific calling or purpose in our lives. Think of the Apostle Paul. Paul, when he knew he was called by God to be an apostle, he wasn't called just to be somebody who witnessed and discipled. He knew specifically what he was called to do. That being an apostle or a sent one or what someone might call being a missionary. Going to different places and establishing and raising up churches. And Paul, as far as his ministry as missionary or apostle, just didn't kind of wander around and go wherever he felt like it. As a person of purpose, he went exactly where he knew he was supposed to go. And he did in those cities exactly what he was supposed to do. Win people, establish churches, and raise leaders. How did he know to do these things? Paul knew to do these things because he was a person of vision or revelation. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit what he was to do, what his calling was, where he was to do it, and how he was to accomplish that. And you know, Paul is no more special than you and me. God, just as he had a unique plan and purpose for the Apostle Paul, has a unique plan and purpose for you in your life in doing what we've all been called to do, to reach and to teach, to build the kingdom of God. And this isn't just for ministry, although ministry is important. God has a role for us in his kingdom. But let us not fail to realize that God is interested in every aspect of our lives. What we do at church, but also what we do at home, how we are in our neighborhoods, and even our careers. You might be saying, my career, what does that have to do with anything? Your career is very important to God. God has given you your job to bless you financially. It is one way that God puts money in your pocket and food on your table. And it is also a place that God desires to use you to bring glory and honor to him. People in the workplace need to see faith in action. And one of the biggest places that's experienced is in your career. God has a place, a purpose for you. Every aspect, ministry, family, career. He wants to be glorified. And to communicate, he'll give you that vision or that burden for that. Not only in understanding the Word of God, but understanding who you are in Christ. And what God has called you to do. And where God has called you to do it, and how you're going to accomplish it in Jesus' name. And when you grab a hold of that, when your life becomes now one of vision or revelation, the Bible tells us the steps of a righteous man are what? They're ordered by God. God has a plan of you. And when you get a hold of that, when God speaks that into your soul, then all of a sudden everything comes into focus. You become a person of purpose. You become a person now with a sense of urgency. You become now a person of confidence. I don't know if I should be doing this. I know I'm doing exactly what I'm doing, regardless of what's going on around me. In fact, I think it's critical, as far as being a person of vision, if we truly want to accomplish the Great Commission. Because with vision, or with revelation, comes burden. When God pours that call into your life, for whatever it might be, for your job, your home, and of course, for the kingdom of God, then with that comes a burden for those people, an unshakable burden, something that moves you to that place of sacrifice that is so necessary to accomplish those things that God has called you. So let me ask you today, do you have a vision for your place in the body, where you are, who you are in the church, who you want to reach and touch with the gospel, what you would like to see as far as this church and in your community? Do you have a vision for your family? Do you, as a believer, do you understand where, has God spoke to you where he'd like your marriage to be? Or would like your children to be, or some other family dimension? You know, do you have a vision from God where your family should be? And what about your career? Are you doing what God has called you to do in your workplace? Are you going where God has called you and accomplishing it his way? If not, perhaps there is an absence of purpose and vision in your life. And you either need to, before God, renew that vision or get that a fresh vision or revelation from God so that your life regarding your church, your family, your career, whatever it might be a life of purpose again. Now, how does one become a person of vision? Where We have now, we're not only understanding what the Word of God says, but we understand where we should be going in Christ. God has spoken it to us, and it's almost as tangible as if he wrote it down on a piece of paper. Number one, to become a person of vision, we must pursue Him. And we must pursue vision. If you want a greater revelation of who Jesus is, you need to pursue Christ. That means in your prayer time needs to be more than just sharing your needs to God. Although that's important, and I'm not trying to disparage that at all. Your prayer time needs to be more than just praise, although that's an important part of praise or prayer. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You need to spend time pursuing Jesus, a greater revelation of who He is, meditating on His Word, just spending time in prayer just to know Jesus in a greater way. And if your ministry, your family, your life, your career seems just to be floating without purpose, you need to be pursuing God to find out what His purpose is for you, for Him to give you a vision for your family. Where does my family need to be? I don't know where my family needs to be. God, speak to me. I don't really know what, you know, I know some young people here, and I know some are downstairs. I don't know what I should be doing with my life. God has a place for you and a purpose for you. And the only way you'll know it is by searching Him out for it, on your knees through prayer and fasting. God, give me a vision. Give me a vision for what I should be doing in the body. I don't know what I should be doing. I'm just kind of looking around and seeing what's available, and I'm doing something, but I don't really care too much about it. That may be what God has called you to do, but it won't become yours in your heart until God gives you a revelation regarding it. This is what God has called me to do and called me to be. And I'm going to pursue it with all my heart. Secondly, it's important that we work on remembering the vision. Remember what God speaks to us. The book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, the Bible says, "The Lord replied, 'Write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation waits for an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay.'" Here was a revelation that the prophet was receiving, but the fulfillment of that wasn't coming for a time. So what was the instruction of God to make sure that he would not forget what this revelation was? Write it down. Write it down. When you go to prayer, when you study the Word, it's important to bring one of the most important things you can bring in addition to your Bible is a pen and a piece of paper, or one of them study Bibles with a lot of margins and things that you can write in. Because as you are prayerfully studying the Word of God, God will reveal or open up things about Him and about His Word to you. Supernatural understanding. Write it down so that you won't forget it. Underline it. Make a note on how that scripture spoke to you. Because at some time in your life, you may face a challenge where you'll need that understanding. And your natural mind might have forgotten. But if it's written down someplace, it will not be forgotten. I think as far as, you know, ministry or whatever vision or maybe another word to use, goals as far as life, goals for my family, goals for my career, goals in my ministry. I think it's important to write those things down too. If they're from God, should they be forgotten? Absolutely not. We should write them all down. And in doing so, remembering, because it brings us to this next step as far as being a person of vision, that being a person of faith. Just as the scripture I just read mentioned, sometimes when God speaks regarding something in your life, it does not immediately come to pass. Let me tell you, when I first got out of Bible school, I knew God had called me to be a pastor, but there were absolutely no opportunities, at least none that came my way. And for several years, I was involved in lay ministry and different things. I was doing things I wasn't even considering doing as far as my life. And there were times when that calling was tested and I was at the point of giving up. Unfortunately, God in His mercy reminded me and told me to hold on. It's important that we believe and hold on to that vision, because often what God speaks to us doesn't come to pass right away. How do we believe? Well, it's more than just saying, I believe, I believe, I believe. But one sure way we can tell whether we believe in something or not is if what God has spoken to us about, we treat with patience and expectation. I've used this illustration before, but let me share it with you again. And it's regarding my car. And back when we were in Illinois, I was considering buying a new car. Not a brand new car, just another car. Because, one car was just been more convenient. And as I was thinking about this, I felt the Lord speak to me very clearly, not an audible voice, but clearly to my spirit, someone's going to give you a car. And I really felt that was of God, and it was of God. And so I said, I'm not going to pursue it any longer. I'm just going to wait for someone to give me a car. Well, a year went by and nothing happened. Another year went by, and I think we ended up moving out here. Another year went by, a year went by, a year went by, no car. And it started really getting inconvenient because the kids were getting older, and with schedules and everything, it's difficult when you have children to have one car with two drivers and whatnot. And a year ago, just about a year ago, my brother gave me his car. And it came at the exact perfect time. But every time I was tempted to say, well, maybe this wasn't God, and I'm just going to get a car anyways, something within me said, don't do it. Just keep on waiting. And in doing so, if I had acted in haste, and if I had forgotten, or if I acted in impatience, I would have lost out on a blessing. The car that my brother gave me runs great. And I'm not saying every car you'll get will run great, and if you don't have a car that runs great, it's not of God. But it's exactly what I needed right at the right time. God's timing is always perfect. But when we act in unbelief, it messes up what God wants to do. It's important to believe, which means we treat that with patience, what God has spoken. And when we don't see things go the way that we'd like them to go. And that's not just, I'm not just speaking about opportunity. I'm also speaking about effectiveness. God may call you to a ministry, and you might have an expectation that ministry is going to grow. And let me tell you, one of the goals and visions that I have for this church is more people. Not that we're into numbers, but I know God wants His house full. Amen? In the name of Jesus. And in some ways, over things that have happened in the past few years, we've taken some steps back. But I'm not going to give up on what God has spoken. I'm going to wait on Him. And do you know why it's important that we do that? Because if we give up believing, then we can pretty much give up on receiving what God has promised or spoken. Let me share with you a scripture, and then we'll ask the musicians to come forward. 1 Corinthians 3, 6-8, Paul, talking about the establishment of the Corinthian church, writes, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Why does things happen, and this isn't only in the area of ministry. This is also regarding your career. This also is in regards to your family. Seeing in fulfillment what God has promised, spiritual fruit in those areas. How does it happen? Because we're smart. If we work hard enough, something will happen. If we say all the right words, although we should strive to do right in everything we do, is it because of us? What does God's word say? I watered, or I planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. It's God who brings about fruitfulness in whatever you're doing for His kingdom. Whatever ministry that God has called, it's God who's going to bring about that fruitfulness. In your family, whether it's your spouse, your children, your parents, your brother, your sister, it's God who's going to bring about their salvation. God's going to bring them through the struggles and the trials in their life. God, even in your career, let me tell you, no matter who's the CEO of the company you work for, God's in control of your job. And it's God who's going to make or break opportunities for you. I could share more personal illustrations, but I won't take up your time this morning. Just in my own life, in my brief secular career. God. When God speaks, our responsibility, sole responsibility, is faith. To believe and be faithful. To believe and be faithful. And God shares with you that vision. Hold on. Believe in Jesus' name. Treat it with patience and expectation. I'd like to ask our musicians to come forward this morning. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And as they come, I'd just like to ask everyone to stand this morning. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just bow our hearts together this morning. In the name of Jesus, together. I'm just going to pray a very brief prayer, and then I'm going to invite people to come forward if the Lord Jesus Christ is moving upon your soul. But let's first bow our hearts together and let's just pray. Lord, I thank and I praise you, God, for your grace and your goodness and your peace, Lord Jesus. And that not only are you a God of purpose, but you give us purpose. You give us vision. You give us revelation in the name of Jesus. Father, in some area, perhaps all of us in some area of our life, whether it's the understanding of your word, or if it's our family, or if it's our career, or if it's our calling regarding ministry in your kingdom, we might be at a place where we just don't have vision. There's a lack of vision. There's a lack of revelation. So because of that, we're struggling. In Jesus' name. Father, I just pray that within each and every one of us, you'd restore vision. That you make us people of purpose once again. Some of us were at one point, but we've allowed doubt and other things to rob us of that sense of purpose, to rob us of what you've spoken, what you've shown. But some of us maybe never really even had it. We didn't even know it was there, so we never pursued it. So God, I pray that you would make us people of vision, who search out, who remember, and who believe what you've spoken to us in Jesus' name. And Father, we'll not fail to give you, because it's by your hand any good thing has been done, to praise you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As our worship team begins to sing, there may be those this morning, somewhere in your life you need a renewed sense of vision or purpose. It might be your family. It might be your place in the body of Christ. And I'm not just talking here within this church. I'm talking about your relationship with Jesus. You know, ministry isn't about the church. Ministry is about Jesus. Amen? And maybe here. I hope it's here. But it's also outside these walls in the name of Jesus. You need God to either renew that vision for what He's called you to, or you've never really had one. God has one for you. God has a place for you. He has a calling upon your life if you just reach out for it in the name of Jesus. There may be some here who've lost a vision for their family. It might be a vision regarding, you know, your spouse. You know, God spoke to your heart that your spouse was going to come to the Lord, or certain problems in your marriage are going to work out, but they haven't, and so you've given up on that vision. Allow God to renew that vision again. Renew vision for your children. Maybe they've walked far from God, or they're facing problems. And God has spoken to you. He's given you a revelation regarding your children, but you've given up on it. God wants to renew that once again this morning. In the name of Jesus. There may be some, and I don't hesitate to talk about jobs. People's jobs are a very important part of that. You're not sure if where you are at is where you're supposed to be, or if the track you're on is the one that you're supposed to be on. God has a specific track for you in the name of Jesus, and a specific way to get there. And it's all in His plans and His purposes. It may not be the most lucrative thing. You know, don't let money be your guide. Don't let money give you a vision. That's a false vision. Let God give you a true vision in the name of Jesus. But it'll be a blessed path in the name of Jesus, and God will use you. So as we begin to worship, we invite those who just need a renewed sense of vision to come before God and to ask God to renew that vision once again. And as God speaks to you, you may receive it now and you may not, but keep pressing through. And when you receive it, write it down. And stand on that just as surely as you stand on anything else in the name of Jesus. Because God, what He has spoken, He will bring to pass. For God is not a man that He should lie. In the name of Jesus. Come, as we begin to worship. Those who must go, we ask, we pray God's peace upon you, but we do ask that you leave very quietly, as there are those who are praying about the altar and also those who will be worshiping. But come now as we worship in the name of Jesus.